Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we all know that there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of MMA podcasts out there. But I've got one for you that I guarantee you haven't listened to yet. It's called Fat Guy and a Little Host. It's an MMA podcast that is not your average MMA podcast. There are so many out there that are serious and really just not intelligible. This is not one of them. Not only are the hosts really funny and intelligent about MMA, they actually know what the hell they're talking about, but the audio quality is A+. And that is so important when you're listening to any podcast. Its listenability is absolutely reliant on the quality of the audio, and I actually think it might be better than this podcast as far as the audio quality goes. So maybe I'll have to step up my game. But guys, go check out Fat Guy and a Little Host. It's an MMA podcast. It's hosted by Mark and Matt. It is very well done. And you can find them anywhere that podcasts are available, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Go search for Fat Guy and a Little Host. Go get your fill of MMA and comedy all wrapped into one. Go check them out today.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT podcast, the day late edition, because for some reason my house's Wi-Fi decided that on the afternoon when I was going to record this show that it wasn't going to cooperate at all, and it's hard to do and record and watch the show for a podcast without Wi-Fi. You need that for certain parts of that process. But I am here to talk about this week's pretty uneventful NXT altogether, but still going to be a fun show to talk about. Now, as always, I am your host. I am Zachary Smith. You can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. Now, before we get started with NXT, we usually cover the news, some of what's going on in wrestling, in a segment I called News, which is news with an exclamation mark And what it is it's a very carefully curated and researched list of topics that I've dug deep into, and it's certainly not me typing WWE into Google and reading you the results there, because that would be hack stuff, and that's not what we do here. But if you were to do that, I actually had to go read an article here, because there was some stuff. One of the things is that Mickie James kind of railed against WWE. She said, basically, quote, "I think the small-minded mentality sometimes leads to thoughtless behavior. Especially for me to constantly be presented as old when I'm 41 and every single male champion has been my same age or older and has been glorified for those reasons, as they should be. They're effing amazing. But why is it different for women, or why is it different for me? Ageism is a real thing, and it's bull." She's grateful for the strides that the women have made and to start to be seen as equal, but it's not true for every single person. I would agree. I don't know if this is a women versus men thing in WWE's case as much as it is WWE is super weird and not great. In that, if you are Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch or Ronda Rousey or now Sasha Banks and used to be Bayley, you're put on this level where age is never mentioned and you're constantly pushed. But if you're like a Mickie James, you'll be called old and fat and not used even though you're amazing. And if you're Asuka, you'll be turned into a comedic character because our characters have to be multifaceted. And the same thing happens with a lot of the men. The Miz was just WWE champion, and I understand he was a transitional champion, but one of the reasons that title isn't as important as it could be is that the former champion is now having a feud with Bad Bunny because they think that gets them mainstream attention and it's worth it, and it just makes people look like a joke. So yeah, WWE is ageist, and sometimes they're racist and sexist and just have bad taste, and a lot of times it's just because of an individual. And I'm quite sure that Mickie James didn't do anything but be the most professional, awesome person to be around ever. And she was called, you know, fat and a Piggy James and called old and not used and then fired, and her belongings were sent to her in a trash bag. And then they fired one person. Like, that's not a thing that this company has done before. That's cool, huh? This is a really good company to work for. Bret Hart on the 81 podcast had some not great things to say about Triple H. I just thought this one was funny. He said, quote, "There's always some guys, you know, that no matter what they do with them, you always wonder how they got hit there. And I never thought Triple H ever had an idea, original idea, for anything, and I always thought he was overrated. The only reason people even know him or remember him today is because of his daddy-in-law." Now listen, Bret Hart is one of the greatest professional wrestlers that has ever existed. That is inarguable. Bret Hart is also one of the most downer dudes you're ever going to be around. You ever been around a person who, even if something is good, they will find a black cloud over it? That is Bret Hart. Bret Hart is bitter and has every right to be absolutely clear. So that's fine. But a lot of times you have to take stuff like Bret Hart's musings with a grain of salt because he's kind of mad at the world, and I would be too. But in this case, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily quite that bad, but from the Reign of Terror Triple H had to stories of writers bringing him the script for that night and him only caring about if he won. The thing is that Triple H, I forget who said this. Oh, it might have been Jim Cornette. That's unfortunate that I have to agree with Jim Cornette on something because he's a despicable person. But I think he is the one that said Triple H is not and never was the guy Triple H is the guy that works with the guy. So even during his reign of terror, early 2000s, hypothetically and technically, he was the guy. He was the world heavyweight champion, but he was handed the world heavyweight title, and then he worked with all these people that could have benefited from being world champion but didn't. Early 90s, he worked with Stone Cold, he worked with The Rock, he worked with Mick Foley, but even when they tried to make him the guy, I don't think even Triple H fans would tell you that he was the guy. Even in DX, he wasn't the guy. He's the guy who works with the guy. He used to be able to have a good match with just about anybody, and he surrounded himself with Evolution and Ric Flair to kind of handle some promo stuff for him, because now he's turned into a pretty good promo for what it is, but I don't know that he was ever going to talk people into the building. And he's worked with a lot of the best people that have ever done this, but he's certainly not one of the best people that's ever done this, I don't think. I think that Triple H has done a magnificent job of putting himself in advantageous situations through his relationship with his now wife and his father, yes, his father-in-law, and that has certainly helped. That is to take nothing away from the fact that he is very talented, and he, through whatever means it was achieved, had a physique that certainly Vince McMahon would appreciate. I'm going to let you draw your own conclusions on what kind of workout regimen you would need for that sort of thing. But, I mean, I think given the same circumstances, I probably would have done the same thing. But yeah, I think it's probably fair to say that Triple H was never that guy. There wasn't a lot of news, but there was a lot of fun, petty stuff. And the thing you need to know about me is I love petty stuff. But we're here to talk about NXT this week. A little bit of a hangover edition. Not a ton of new happening, just kind of a NXT is this week, and so we have to put out a show. Seems like they had that early boost from Stand and Deliver and moving to Tuesdays, because this was totally our idea and not a succession to AEW in any way, shape, or form. And it may have kind of, their momentum, rather, may have kind of slowed in terms of they had a lot of really good ideas, and now they're in a little bit more of a holding pattern. Like, we'll have interesting things going on soon, we just don't have them right now.
So we all know that there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of MMA podcasts out there, but I've got one for you that I guarantee you haven't listened to yet. It's called Fat Guy and a Little Host. It's an MMA podcast that is not your average MMA podcast. There are so many out there that are serious and really just not intelligible. This is not one of them. Not only are the hosts really funny and intelligent about MMA, they actually know what the hell they're talking about, but the audio quality is A+. And that is so important when you're listening to any podcast. Its listenability is absolutely reliant on the quality of the audio, and I actually think it might be better than this podcast as far as the audio quality goes. So maybe I'll have to step up my game. But guys, go check out Fat Guy and a Little Host. It's an MMA podcast. It's hosted by Mark and Matt. It is very well done. And you can find them anywhere that podcasts are available, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Go search for Fat Guy and a Little Host. Go get your fill of MMA and comedy all wrapped into one. Go check them out today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
And there's never more evidence of that than Dakota Kai's out first with the women's champion, Raquel Gonzalez. It's weird to me that Raquel is still doing the diesel bodyguard to Dakota's Shawn Michaels. I understand that eventually we're heading for Raquel turning on Dakota or vice versa. So I get that. And I get that there's a pre-established relationship here. But usually the point of a bodyguard storyline, like the Diesel Shawn Michaels one, is that the bodyguard constantly looks out for the smaller wrestler who's very talented but doesn't feel like getting it done on their own, and eventually gets fed up with that and turns on them, usually turning the bodyguard into a good guy, and then they have a feud. This one is odd because Raquel was being the bodyguard to Dakota, and then Raquel won the women's... Raquel and Dakota won the women's tag titles and then lost them the same night. And then immediately after, Raquel got into a feud with Io Shirai while Dakota would try and stand up to Io Shirai, and Io Shirai would just walk right past Dakota because Dakota Kai was made to look like a loser in that. Raquel was not affected in any way because she went on to win the women's title. She's fine. So now you have a situation where they're still... it's mostly Raquel helping Dakota win, but Raquel's the women's champion. And the thing is, eventually we'll get probably Dakota turning on Raquel. But I have never really cared about Dakota and Raquel as a pair. And so when you put them against each other, it's not going to be like, oh, they were best friends and now they're fighting and this is terrible. It's going to be like, oh, okay, this is like Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, where there is a history here. We just don't care about it. So that's cool. Mercedes Martinez is out next. Remember her? Last week she called out Raquel, even though she couldn't beat the former women's champ, Io Shirai, who Raquel beat. So that's something, I guess. Mercedes Martinez is distracted by Raquel Gonzalez, and Dakota Kai still can't take advantage because she's a loser, and Raquel has to come in and get Mercedes disqualified. Dakota Kai is such a non-factor, it's astounding. Like, I don't think Dakota Kai was ever going to be the NXT Women's Champion and, like, the face of NXT for the women's division, but it feels like there's something in between Women's Champion and what she's currently doing that she could have fit into. But here we are. Raquel is beating down Mercedes on the outside now. Dakota does that thing you do when you're not important in a particular segment and gets out of the ring and you barely see her in camera. And then she's back on the side just selling and holding Raquel's title for her. Next, Frankie Monet interrupts an interview with Shotzi and Ember. And I saved you a bunch of time because why would either of us need to know anything about what happened here? Frankie Monet is a bad character. The women's tag titles are dumb and a joke. Shotzi and Ember are great, but this is bad. They get flowers delivered. We're going to find out later that those were supposed to apparently go to Indy Hartwell from Dexter Lumis. I've told you all the important information from this segment, and I want you to understand that important is such a stretch that I feel bad for having said it. But we've made it through that together. Bronson Reed is about to make his entrance. Before he comes out, he has a stare down with Johnny Gargano. It's weird for the good guy to lose a title match and then still be involved with the champion. There's not really a story here between these two, and he already lost at Stand and Deliver, so I don't really understand, like, the point here, I guess. before our next entrant, LA Knight's in the back being interviewed, brags about beating Dexter Lumis last week, hits on Indy Hartwell, says that she really likes him. He saw it in her eyes, so I guess that weird story still going. Austin Theory comes out next with the other members of the Gargano family. Yes, I know their name is The Way, but the Gargano family is a better name. Indy Hartwell comes out. She is crestfallen and goes ahead of the group, not engaging with their entrance. She's acting exactly like a teenager that has been forced to go on a trip with her family to somewhere that she really does not want to be a part of, and it's fantastic. The announcers tell us that if Bronson Reed wins this match, he gets another shot at the North American title. I did not catch when, if it's like a next week thing or what. I think it is. Midway through an actually really good match, as they're both down, Dexter Lumis comes out. He appears to be coming for Indy, who doesn't want anything to do with him. He's following Indy as she's walking away from him. She gets in the ring. He follows on the apron. I hate this. I understand that it's supposed to be like a fun story. Ah, he's like a serial killer or a psycho, and she's also crazy because she likes him. But to have a dude like carry an unconscious girl out who's pretending to be unconscious because she knows that will get her a chance with him, and then for her to not be interested and him to still follow her around and just creepily stare at her. I understand this is wrestling. I understand this is like a false reality we've created, and this is all fun and games. This isn't fun and games to me. This is like creepily following a girl around a bar when she's already told you she's not super into it right now. And I don't know about you, that just kind of bothers me, and so I would love to stop watching it every week. So here we are. Theory is thrown into the ropes. Dexter sees Theory coming, and he pushes Indy out of the way, and he gets hit and knocked off the ring. Bronson Reed takes advantage of that, and he knocks out Johnny on the apron. He knocks out Austin Theory and hits the top rope splash on Theory to pick up the win. So, at some point, Johnny has to defend his title again against Bronson Reed. I see no reason why Bronson Reed would win that title, so I don't know. There's an interview in the back. We find out that MSK and Kushida are teaming up against Legado del Fantasma in the main event. This group called themselves MS Kushida and high-fived. They're all very excited to be tag team partners. They're cool. From Instagram, Finn Balor took a vacation to Mexico. It's a very well-earned vacation, and he's going to be back next week. It makes sense, one, that Karrion Kross beat him down quite a bit, so it's good that he took some time off. And also, you know, it just makes sense that he would be taking a vacation, both in storyline and in real life. He's been working very hard as the NXT champion, and so I dig it. And I like that they're, with this and with Adam Cole later, they're really acknowledging the fact that neither of them have been on TV, and although Finn is taking a vacation, it's also that he had a war with Karrion Kross. And because he had that war, he isn't just going to come back the next week like people on the main roster often do. He's going on vacation. He's taking a step back, and now you can announce that he's coming back. I like it. It's a small detail, but it's still important. For the second time, we get a vignette of Cameron Grimes in a jewelry store. Now he's admiring a watch, saying he'll just wear it out. And someone off camera says, "That's a nice watch," but shows his watch. He says, "It's not a $1 million watch." The camera pans over, and it's Ted DiBiase, who laughs in Cameron Grimes' face and walks out of the store. Now, this is a second vignette that started playing. I didn't really pay attention to the first one because nothing happened. Nothing really happened in this one. This didn't have like what you would call a point or like a story, but it was fun. Cameron Grimes is good at this because he's good at a lot of stuff, and it was fun to see Ted DiBiase. He's kind of the perfect guy to use for something like this. It was good to see him. I'm down with it. I haven't seen or heard from Ted DiBiase in a long time. It was a fun little thing.
So we all know that there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of MMA podcasts out there. But I've got one for you that I guarantee you haven't listened to yet. It's called Fat Guy and a Little Host. It's an MMA podcast that is not your average MMA podcast. There are so many out there that are serious and really just not intelligible. This is not one of them. Not only are the hosts really funny and intelligent about MMA, they actually know what the hell they're talking about, but the audio quality is A+. And that is so important when you're listening to any podcast. Its listenability is absolutely reliant on the quality of the audio. And I actually think it might be better than this podcast as far as the audio quality goes. So maybe I'll have to step up my game. But guys, go check out Fat Guy and a Little Host. It's an MMA podcast. It's hosted by Mark and Matt. It is very well done. And you can find them anywhere that podcasts are available, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Go search for Fat Guy and a Little Host. Go get your fill of MMA and comedy all wrapped into one. Go check them out today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
So that's cool. Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea, I'm so glad they started putting her name up because that has not been a bit. Every time I see Jesse Kamea, I cannot remember her name, but they're all in the ring with Robert Stone because this is what the Robert Stone brand is. I get it. It's funny, but it really feels like Robert Stone could be a really good manager if you gave him something serious to do, but they're not gonna, so we're gonna do this. Shotzi and Ember are out next. Now, at this point, I should mention that the Gargano family were backstage, and Candace basically blames this loss on Shotzi and Ember because they got the flowers from Dexter Lumis and they've clearly had their eyes on him. And for the first time, Indy's not crestfallen anymore. She's mad. And her and Candace go off to have a word with Shotzi and Ember. Well, they don't find them until they're making their entrance because Candace and Indy attack Shotzi and Ember before they can even finish their entrance. So they're beating them down. They throw the flowers on them because this is why women would fight each other. So that's cool. And I'm unclear as to why, but Robert Stone's running around with one of the tag titles. Like, they won the titles for some reason. It might be a R-Truth, ha, it's funny because he's dumb kind of thing. I don't know. But that segment ends there. So it's an Adam Cole sit-down interview before the main event. The interview starts with him talking on the phone and asking the interviewer when they're going to get started because he's a jerk. So I like that Adam hasn't been in the ring since that match with Kyle O'Reilly at Stand and Deliver. Even now, he says that he's been better. He says Kyle got really lucky at TakeOver because he had Kyle beat earlier in that match. He says Kyle isn't ready for the main event spot. He says there's a reason he's been here almost 4 years and people are just now recognizing him. He says the reason he feels nervous and insecure is because those feelings are very real and time will tell. They ask him about the new NXT champion. He says Karrion Kross is good, but he's not great yet. So the first time he won the title, he got hurt. So was that a fluke or is he ready? Said, if I don't know what I'm going to do next, but if I decide to go after the NXT title for Cross, the clock is ticking. He said, no matter where I end up, you'll see the best Adam Cole ever. It cuts to the interview, it backs up, and now it's on a TV, and Kyle O'Reilly is in the back watching it. So this is interesting for a few reasons. One, Adam Cole's still selling the monumental butt kicking that he got at Stand and Deliver. That's fantastic. He absolutely should be. If you're going to have that level of physicality in a match, then, yep, you should sell it. Also, while still being a bad guy and putting people down, he really kind of pumped up Kyle O'Reilly and Karrion Kross. He said that he's basically better than Kyle O'Reilly, but Kyle O'Reilly is a main event guy. He just questioned whether or not he deserved to be, but he certainly put him over while still being a bad guy. He also put on Karrion Kross. He put over that he is a monster and he's on top of the division right now, but also left room as a bad guy that if I come after the title, he's gonna be taking it because he hasn't faced Adam Cole yet. So he put over Karrion Kross, he left the door open for a match with Karrion Kross, and he, as a bad guy, put out the idea that he's better than Karrion Kross. Fantastic. That's what you want to do as a bad guy. You gotta simultaneously pump up your opponent, and, or rather your potential opponent, and pump up yourself so that it's a bigger match when everything comes along. Because if you beat a nobody, what does that make you? Adam Cole's very good at this, so this was good. I don't know what Adam Cole's going to do. They're playing a little bit with the idea that Adam Cole could go to the main roster, him saying, you know, no matter where I end up. He certainly could go to the main roster. I mean, he's kind of done everything maybe twice over that you could do in NXT. And there's a ceiling to NXT, I suppose. So usually what happens in a situation like this is that Adam Cole would move on from NXT to the main roster. A couple things. One, I don't know if Adam Cole is a Johnny Gargano or a Ciampa where they are not interested in moving to the main roster. Ciampa saying that he'll retire before he moves to the main roster. So Ciampa's staying. Johnny seems like he wants to stay. Or if he's like a Rhea Ripley where he has a lot he wants to accomplish in NXT, but once that is accomplished, moving on to perceived bigger and better things. The other thing is that size is not really a consideration on NXT. NXT wants the best wrestlers, and they don't care as much about aesthetics. NXT does not care if you turn heads in the airport like Vince McMahon did at one time and probably still does, because that's stupid. Because even if you turn heads in an airport, people aren't going to come up to you and say, "What do you do?" And you say, "Wrestler," and now they're wrestling fans. That's not how that works. And also, you're not turning heads in the airport. You're just big people and muscly people are everywhere. So, in NXT, that doesn't matter. On the main roster, it very much does still. Like, people like Daniel Bryan can get ahead, but please make no mistake and don't let WWE lie to you and tell you that B-plus player story with Daniel Bryan was just a story. And they were working you, Mark. Nope, that was real life. So you have to have a one in a million opportunity come around before you're taken seriously. And the thing about Adam Cole is that he's a fantastic talker. He's fantastic at crafting a story in a match. He's fantastic in the ring. He's not tall and he's not buff. He's like the Randy Orton test. Like, can you stand in the ring with Randy Orton and look like you stand a chance? He very much fails. Now, I don't care about that particularly. I don't think you do. But being a fan of WWE as long as I have been and seeing him in the ring with bigger people, I wince a little bit because I know that that's going to be a problem. And could he have a Daniel Bryan moment? Sure. But it took a CM Punk pipe bomb for him to have a moment. It took the Yes Movement for Daniel Bryan to have a moment. It took Eddie Guerrero dying for Rey Mysterio to have a moment. And even then, in two of those three, they didn't back it seriously. So, if he goes to the main roster, I don't know how successful he's going to be. Not because of him, because he is more than talented enough. If this were just about talent and presentability and character, he could be WWE champion and, you know, main event WrestleMania with the right story. But you can't believably put him in a ring with Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley or Apollo or a lot of people, because the office and some of the fans, and I don't blame the fans for that, aren't going to think it's believable. And to a degree, I get that sentiment, but that's the thing. So, that's all to say, I hope Adam Cole stays in NXT, or more than that, I hope Adam Cole goes where he wants, but if he goes to the main roster, I just hope they give him a chance. So for our main event, Legado del Fantasma are in the ring. They all got new masks. Those are all cool looking. MSK's out next. They are the tag team champions, which is easy to forget because NXT doesn't care a ton about tag teams. They aren't like the main roster who actively dislikes tag teams, but they don't focus on tag teams. Kushida's out next. He's the Cruiserweight champ. I sincerely wonder if he's stoked about that or not. I might be projecting my own feelings about that title onto him, but I don't know how psyched you are to be Cruiserweight champion. But both of these teams work really well together as teams, and all these dudes are good against each other. So this is certainly not a main event feud, but it's a main event match in terms of quality for an episode of television. So you can work with that. If this were a takeover, this would be like an opening match because it's going to be really good in the ring, but there's not a substantial story behind it, so, you know, you're not going to feature it. But for a TV where you're kind of in a holding pattern, this can work. Legado pins the MSK guy that does less sit-ups to pick up the win. Earlier, they powerbomb Kushida through the announce table, and they put him down first and then hit a double team move on the dude who does less sit-ups, and they pick up the win. They all raise the titles. Escobar raises the Cruiserweight title, and the other two raise the tag titles because presumably those are going to be our feuds going forward. So like I said, that was NXT, kind of a holding pattern episode. We don't have a ton of momentum for anything at the moment, but still some good action in the ring. But as always, let me know what you think at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT on Twitter. Let me know what you thought about the show. Let me know who you think are going to be our next challengers for our titles. We've seen some stories start to come together. Who would you like to see? Can anybody tell me what's like good or interesting about Frankie Monet? Because I sincerely haven't found anything yet. I don't even dislike her as a bad guy. I just don't care. But let me know over there. In the meantime, that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you very much for listening.